Thanks, Rob. I'm not used to mics at all, so...
I just stand close to you.
Yeah.
They'll pick you up.
Help me out here. Thank you. Well, thanks very much to Paul for inviting me. This is an incredible event. I was blown away by what people were doing with the five-word challenge. I couldn't do anything. So I'm going to start with a poem by Mairead Byrne. It's her birthday today. And this one is called A Vow of Poetry. Mairead went into town with her brothers and sisters one day. There was a fun fair on O'Connell Street, and they all had money in their pockets. Sean went on the orange and red, helter-skelter. Amy played Roll a Penny. Sheila had her fortune told by a chest-high effigy wearing a scarf. The girls linked arms and flounced up and down the street. Then they all had candy floss. No one noticed that Mairead was missing, but after a while she turned up beside them again. She'd been to the little pitched tent in the centre of the street and taken a vow of poverty. Years later, at one of their regular uproarious gatherings, the brothers and sisters got to talking about this day. Mairead mentioned her vow of poverty. A little pitched tent? I never noticed that, they all said. Until Deirdre remembered, oh no, Mairead, I know what you're talking about. That wasn't poverty, that was poetry. Oh, said Mairead. I assumed the V was hidden in a fold in the canvas. My mistake, I feel such a fool to have remained poor all these years. And all the time it was poetry. I'll kick off with a little poem called Frogs. I like frogs a lot. I worked as a science teacher for many years and I've never dissected one. A section of the poem is paraphrases a medical textbook for students where they do obscene things to frogs. And, so that's not me. Anyway. There's a number of different languages in it because they're one of the first voiced creatures. Frogs. On a grassy hill in a luxury seminary in Glenart, I found screened by trees a large stone pond. The waters of solitude. Friends. Patriarchs. 10,000 times older than humanity. The galaxy has rotated almost twice since they first appeared. They get two grudging notices in the Bible. Sephardia in Exodus. Batrachos in the Apocalypse. I will smite all thy borders with frogs. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Their numbers have been hugely depleted, principally by students. Sever its brain, the frog continues to live. It ceases to breathe, swallow, or sit up, and lies quietly if thrown on its back. Locomotion and voice are absent, suspended by the nose. Irritate the breast, elbow and knee with acid. Sever the foot that wipes the acid away. It will grasp and hang from your finger. There is evidence that they navigate by the sun and the stars. This year, 32, I said, I'll be damned if Maureen has frogs and dug a pond. Over 80 hatched, propped up with cat food, until the cats ate them. It was only weeks later we discovered six shy survivors. The hieroglyph for the number 100,000 is a tadpole. Light ripples down a smooth back. La Granouille, gone. There's a woman at the bottom of our road and there's a grassy spot and she mows it, but she always makes sure to leave the primroses growing wild and they look absolutely brilliant. So this is called Primuliveris. Clustering atop a leggy stem, 10 elf green bodices tapered down to blown about yellow pinafores. Near the ground, a mob of blotched leaves, belching and gulping, stiff with liquor, watched constellations kink and bend, and languages drift from grammar to grammar. Sister Mary's favourite flower. Cast a light on all the gougers that she coaxed, effing and blinding to various degrees of joint uprighting. One great arching cadence glosses the world as a double spiral, speaks to itself with epochs or clauses, root, shoot, and flower, stitching together the heavens and the earth. Now, okay, I went on holiday once with our family. It's very unusual for us. I have one disabled daughter and she hates travelling. We were able to get respite, which no longer exists. So we went to America, and near Stanford University, it was an extraordinary sculpture garden. And one of the main pieces is the Gates of Hell, which is full of absolutely horrifying images of people suffering. So the Rodin Sculpture Garden, Stanford. Past the museum building, we saw them a long, hot walk from University Avenue among lines of cypress in an expanse of pink gravel projecting like vertebrae of a silted giant. Our girls' jaws drop at art's gap teeth, at wind chimes where no wind blows, just a load of naked wet men and women, some of them without even arms, legs or a head. I stand, representing receptivity, tangents swarming and fluttering under unfinished surfaces, huge-handed females with welts the length of their bellies, glands of caesareans, athletic, roughed-up homunculi, those who contend, creatures of the earth, torsos ripped out and thrown aside, decade after decade, still conducting heat. Along the ground, darkness, shaped in the attitudes of flight, swoops gaily past our feet. And I think how much we share and how you know me, so much yourselves, yet carrying my part as I that of my parents down the millennia, body after body, belting out the tune, the am of me and the who you are rolling down the terraces. Genevieve, rising three, tries the gates of hell and kisses the babies of the damned. Margaret, eight, poses on an empty pedestal. Hast thou not poured me out like milk and thickened me like cheese? Sing. We made her up to Florence by bringing her to a Barney concert, which was a really intense experience. It's called Puppets. There I stood with the best of them, having pushed right up to the stage, 1,000 infants on our shoulders, waiting for his coming. Not the heat ladled generously over our heads, nor the involuntary vacuum-packed contact, not the noise, but the ecstasy, the real thing, full belt as a pink and green 8-foot dinosaur leapt on. Nobody knows how he kept so many parts of his body jiggling simultaneously. His voice, no less nimble, each word budding on a background chuckle. I suppose I like the things we pick up when trying to understand ourselves. The headstrong, hand-thrown pot, or God's aga with a chunk of his fire inside. St. Teresa's pure-washed crystal, perpetually at risk of scuffing itself beyond saving. Or the cog in a many-levered movement, enunciating its spring and brass script, insect, chess piece, child of God, or wonky computer. Even this man flexing in a fluorescent costume. Can you imagine what it was like, the wild form of adulation breaking everywhere around him, love in its original colour, untouched by any reflection, issued point blank from 1,000 new souls. And we too went under the backwash, joining every other generation of parents who became puppets in their own children's hands, made vital, laid low by their gigantic uplifts. After four girls, we had a boy. So all our neighbours thought we just kept trying till we got a boy. But we couldn't understand anything he said. And if we'd been a bit more cuffed on, we would have recorded him and played it back at half speed or something, because he was just speaking too fast. but his older sister couldn't understand what he was saying. But when I wrote this poem, when he learned how to walk, and I had been walking around as he crawled, writing down the various phonemes he was uttering, trying to make sense of them, and I built this out of the different syllables. So it's called Semper Vivum, Ever Living. Against entropy, inertia, every fall, his skeleton rises, full of smiles, our footling alpha, or rather his, so self-possessed, listen, stumbling, holding his loft, then down, his sorrow sudden, a missile flung against flaw, which he just as soon erases, steering his listing frame once more towards the sky. Little leaf, sing high your rising song, all flesh is light. They had a big exhibition of Russian gold in the National Gallery, which I went to see with my family. It's called Russian Tabernacle. A gold box, 1 cubit high. 3 of the sides are engraved, and every available surface studded with pearls, rough-cut rubies, emeralds, and sapphires. This God's house is cheerier than a birthday cake dotted with Smarties. At the back, John sucks his beard, while on his desk an eagle clutches an ink pot. Matthew's well is held by an angel, while Mark and Luke make do with tables. On the side of the right, Jesus stands, jug in hand, as 6 men approach him, the foremost caught leaning his cheek against the jug. Above is a dumpy hourglass figure with not so much cut as chipped and sanded rubies and emeralds stuck on. On the left, a minaret contains the Trinity, under which the other 6 apostles continue their supper. At the front, 6 ceramic scraps and 2 figures, one Mary closing on a crucifix with a lovely little skull and some bones at its foot. Jesus is now dead, his face no more expressive than that of a child conked out after a very long story. The cross is gold, the wounds made up. The 6 discs are the stations. Above this, the paraclete, a wild hook-beaked predator, its vision darkened by a tilting halo, freezes in mid-burst through the surface. Descent is death, and death itself is being gutted. At the corners of the roof, 4 ordinary cherubs surmount little cubes with pearls on. Over it all, toilet roll pink, pierced by a rod of gold and topped by a cross on a little globe, burns a raw, fist-sized lump. Irregular surfaces vibrate, reflect, feed on the vitals, flicker joyfully. Tourmaline. This is the shape of faith beyond belief. This is the gate of the grave thrown open. The unachieved craftsman is saved. Somebody asked me why I never write about sex. I think it is. I don't really like the paperwork. So I compromise. This is about confectionery, space travel. Venus and Mars bars. 20 little buddies in a box, she said, lighting with a swagger. Get a load of this gargoyle. Nice wheels for a beginner. So I pulled over and savoured her coffin nail halo, and she arched like a caterpillar testing mimosa. Give me a dog any day, said a passing rocket scientist. Train it to pull the lever, it pulls the lever. Those bloody chimpanzees, pushing and pulling, they pause everywhere. It's a miracle we got any of them off. The gang on her ankle chain clattered as she disappeared in a taxi. That old flirt, Feynman, said that if, by some cataclysm, only one sentence could survive, he'd choose, all things are made of atoms. So I bought myself a fun size and fizzled to its C6H12O6. back to the National Museum. Yeah, they have an exhibition of bog bodies, which I went to see, and it's really quite affecting. So it's called Outtakes. One must be limp a long time, not to mob the tanned and maimed. Surrounded Enagle's torso, arms out as if no one was more willing, unworked hands judged beautiful, whorls spiralling beyond naming. Then rubberneck and neck wrung ex-16-year-old. Munch gape made of meconium, as if she had shit herself or someone had sat in her while still warm. Don't miss the Iron Age upper crust who must equip with French pine resin to be attacked by nits and axe, everything from the diaphragm down still missing. A sign says they have no identity, peat having leached their DNA. Someone wonders how much they'd go for. A woman who ferried the torso by car obsesses about arms reaching out to get her. Finish with a pair of ex-male bonders, decocked, denoodled, their own tripe as neckties, to exit as altered as one who's looked over a celebrity pickpocket's wallet collection. Okay, this one's called Mutability Checkers. The full deck gusts outside the playground, briefly forming an aerial house of cards. I see a woodlouse chasing a tiger with square pegs and square holes. An atom is the part of your throat that sticks out. Every Saturday, I'm a bicycle. Famous dialogues lie on a table. Enter Socrates, winged by the medium's dot to dot. Solvent without solution, ignoramus champ of all history. I think of you sending away a would-be empiricist with a flea in his ear, then sweeping to the end of the argument, reality as a series of diagrams. Secretary to Titan, I dreamed a random river whose surface's inflections shimmered with every possible geometry, where all envisaging blindness hatched and crossed as chance, swollen with potential, surged against the given, sculpting a world where botched and sublime loomed without design. This is a childhood memory. Storms. The reason my sister was screaming was the cloth I had grabbed and used to mop up spilt black tea was our mother's unshakable favourite. There was no going back. I hid it in the shed. That evening, in an unannounced first, my mother went out herself to get the coal and returned to swap me round the front room with the carboned, tanned tea cloth of enormous sentimental value. There was anger, glittering and transient as the colours in a just-caught fish. Her last wish was that her ashes be brought back to her drossen. The ground is full of famous men. I went through a phase of writing poems with a calculator. This is before the internet, so it all took a long time. So this one's called World War II. 55 million people were killed at a cost per corpse of over $250,000, a third their weight in gold, which took a total firepower of 3 megatons, which is the energy of a 7-minute hurricane or of 1 hour of the world's tides. Who got a mention? The history book names 117 or 1.5 million. The advantages: a rise in technology, massive development in agriculture. Indeed, by the equivalence of matter and energy, the firepower condenses to the mass of a small potato. How much does this represent of all the energy used in human history? Compare an electric fire to an earthquake, or a full stop to a small dog. The graveyard would cover an entire city. The gold would fill. And I just left it there. It's a bad taste to continue. Bray is a tourist town, so we get a lot of Spanish students. So Paris Gorges 2, zinc horses. And anyway, this is called Pegasus by 2 at Paris Gorges. Students bob up and down, boisterous in thickets of language they think foreign to us. A man and a woman, leaders, puzzle over Berlin, Hugo Hagen, Fekete, 1869, and mile upon mile of emulsion is permanently altered by light bouncing off dazzling smiles. Fabulous, he says, fabulous. Well, she behind guidebook motions left, so left they go, leaving the zinc chargers, rain-stained wings straining against stillness, not veins, not throbbing on their thighs and bellies. Images of perfection untrouble the breezes that riffle life's lexicon. Generations rattle past like notes in a robin's call, run your finger along a hole. While the wind still gusts, species streaming like bubbles from its touch, each rainbow shape, like us, a prelude to another. I read a book about heresies at one stage, and it was amazing the things you could get killed or excommunicated for. This one seems to hinge on a preposition, so just be careful out there. Heresiarch. Eutyches, Archimandrite of Constantinople, evidenced a disordered mind in accusing Eusebius of heresy, and so was deposed, excommunicated, restored, then excommunicated again in 451. And his own heresy, of but not in two natures, affirming the consubstantiality of Christ with our flesh, but denying the reality of his two distinct natures. Vast aerial views, hardly anyone, dangerous, enormous strength, trapped in a brutish, unrelated hot dark. One night, when he was little, the window by his bed, which lacked curtains, so worked on his mind that he cried out, saying that the accuser was stretched out at ease on the sill, smiling, beckoning to him. His father, to console him, related that once he fancied he saw a rat, the boy's clever features falling at the disproportion of the figure. To see him pray, his face clouded over like a child on a potty, of but not in, and many corpses. The second fall was achieved when the findings of the Robber Council were overturned by that of Chalcedon, and his condemnation, though final, was not without sympathy, it being understood that it was his revulsion for Nestorius which caused him to lean so far to one side that he himself fell from the way. And that while this resulted in definition of doctrine, it was to be understood that truth is independent of whatever formal expression, a fortiori, neither reaction nor hazard of scruple. His eyes rested on a cloud of flies, looping, back-stitching the air, abdomens all straight down, gravity's lodestones, the cloud holding shape as each element remained within, half an arm length of some neighbour. Nebatasira, five different names for the bristles on their faces. Excommunicate, no arts, no letters, no society, and continual fear. When I publish this, some people... didn't believe that this had happened. The Latin word for sand is arena, and there's a riddle in the first line, which, or a modest contribution, I'll explain. Arena, breaking. What clock has the most moving parts? She lies naked in the sand, her body covered in butter, the floor covered flour with which she is also powdered. Not a cloud in the sky, the same sky over us all, Earth's atmosphere thin as a layer of paint on an apple, where purely natural weather no longer exists. So happy, granular quartz mica feldspar magnetite, a loose, incoherent mass, the staff of life atomized, impressed on an edible emulsion of fat globules, her square meter of skin singing in every nerve. I let her at it, keeping an eye through the patio door while I sweep and count down to 5.5 hours till bedtime. The air is full of every radio wave. I hear, real, inverted, diminished, a detail. In a home for the mentally handicapped, the attendant absconded, leaving the inmates manacled to the walls. For some reason, I think of the attendant as a child perpetually besieged, to the pin of their collar just shoveling shit. The inmates, what a word, whatever their age, in the law's eyes forever children. Tonight, every screen will fill with water, and eyes sensitive to a single photon will gather images of populations clinging to trees. Can none spar. Imagine the hooting and honking, everyone high as kites, so long cut off from their own skin, kicking and splashing as the water rises, screams of hilarity as some start to float. Bell, gong, whistle. So much meat caught in God's industrious teeth. I follow Florence upstairs where she stands in the ensuite shower, holding her hands up to the water as if in supplication. What a relief it must have been when each day finally ended and they slept. Sleep, little darlings, sleep. Wet mouths open to starlight, coursing through a darkness cold enough to turn breath solid. Thank you.
Thanks to Randolph Healy.